President Trump and his economic advisors are brushing off concerns about the specter of a trade war with China. That's after China vowed today to slap tariffs on a range of American goods in retaliation for President Trump's plan to raise import duties on Chinese goods.
Also in the news today, the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, says a decision has been made on when to withdraw troops from Syria, something that President Trump says he wants done quickly, even though his generals say the mission is not yet over. Let's bring in our political strategist. We've got Democrat Jamal Simmons. Jamal, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And John Brabender, Republican strategist. John, how are you?
Doing quite well.
Glad to hear it. Well, let's start with Syria, John. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the mission to fight ISIS in Syria is coming to a rapid end. And President Trump also spoke about that at a news conference yesterday.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing, nothing out of it.
Okay, John, also we're hearing today from White House officials that troops are committed to staying in Syria to finish off ISIS. Are you getting a clear picture on what the policy in Syria is?
Well, I think what the president is saying, first of all, is correct. We've done our part. Our part for being there was to fight ISIS. We've made substantial gains. And the question is, when is the right time to leave? I think most Americans probably agree with them that once it is mission accomplished, why are we spending the money? I know they're putting pressure on Saudi Arabia to do more, which I think most people would agree with. So I think people would like to see the troops come home. I think they'd like to see that money better invested here. But I think the key is people want to make sure that our generals are being brought into this decision, that it's not premature. We saw that in previous history, we've had problems of pulling people out too quickly. So I sure hope the president is going to follow procedures as far as getting everybody involved and making sure before a final decision is made.
Yeah, so John, I just want to follow up on that point. We reported this week on a rift between what the White House is saying on Syria and his commanders are on the ground who are actually doing the work. I mean, is there a danger there, a liability that he doesn't handle that relationship right?
Well, I think one thing we've learned with this president is that he's not going to blindly follow any of his advisors. He feels that people elected him to make tough decisions, and he's not afraid to make them. With that said, I certainly hope that at the very least the president is listening to them and weighing what they have to say before he does make a final decision.
We should say that NPR's Tom Bowman was in Syria just over a month ago. He says the military told him that the hard part starts after ISIS is defeated, and the military helps with a destabilization process, and that could take a year or more. I want to turn to Russia, though, an opponent in Syria and in cyberspace regarding the elections. On his last day in office yesterday, the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, said this.
For too long, some nations have looked the other way in the face of these threats. Russia brazenly and implausibly denies its actions, and we have failed to impose sufficient costs.
And here is what President Trump told leaders of Baltic nations in a White House meeting yesterday.
Now, we want to be able, if possible, and this is speaking with the Baltic states, ideally we want to be able to get along with Russia. Getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, maybe we will and maybe we won't. And probably nobody's been tougher to Russia than Donald Trump.
So we're still seeing a split then between what we hear from the president and his advisors. John, how are you reading this?
Well, first of all, I do agree with the president that we should try to have a good relationship with Russia. We have many differences with Russia. Obviously, they interfered in our elections, and we can't just turn a blind eye towards that. But when you look at the bigger picture of our national defense against terrorism and those type of things, we have a lot of common enemies with Russia. And it would be a mistake to try to go down and create a new Cold War, not try to have a relationship with Russia. With that said again, though, we need to be firm. We need to get other nations involved. And I hope the president handles this very carefully. I think his agenda's right, but sometimes the rhetoric causes more problems than it should. Sometimes the process causes more problems than it should.
And Jamal, what do you think?
I think that Vladimir Putin couldn't have a better ally in the White House than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is withdrawing the United States from every sphere he can think of international power and coordination, whether it was TPP, destabilizing NATO by pressing people so hard for the money and then not being so willing to stand up to say the common defense was where we would be. Now willing to pull us out of Syria before the job is done. Power abhors, nature abhors a vacuum. And if the United States pulls out of all these arenas, the Chinese and the Russians will come in and the U.S. power will be even greater diminished. I think he is operating as much as anybody could be on behalf of strategy that does not help the United States maintain its power.
Well, we also have a new advisor coming in, a pretty important one, incoming Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, of course, has to go through the confirmation process. But he seems to be more hawkish than Trump on Russia, especially when it comes to election interference. Jamal, I mean, what do you make of the potential for that relationship, especially on the issue of Russia?
You know, again, the president is, you know, kind of historically, he's like a Twitter thug. I mean, he says and tweets all these really tough and blistery things. But when it comes down to the actions, he doesn't really follow through himself. And so we haven't seen the president take on Vladimir Putin personally, while his administration has gone out and done certain things. The president won't fire anybody personally. He allows those things to be handled by other people. And even when he speaks to someone like Shulkin, he doesn't say, "You're fired," like he does on television. So he's it makes me wonder what we can count on from this president. And it just seems he's doing the very things that Vladimir Putin would want him to do.
Yeah, but I think in fairness to the president, what we have to recognize is he indeed has fired a number of people. And I actually
– personally?
Well, by at least – at the very least by tweet. But the point is
– it's one way to do it.
He did something interesting.
Twitter thought.
A lot of times people come into administration and they're basically allowed to live there forever regardless of performance. What this president has said is, I've evaluated and reevaluated people in my cabinet. The ones who are doing what I believe is a good job and are following my agenda, we're keeping. Where I think we need to make changes, we're going to make changes. We see that with Larry Kudlow coming in, with Pompeo coming, all these things. And I actually respect the president for doing that, because what he's saying is just going along and getting along and being average isn't good enough in a Trump administration.
Except, again, the geopolitical stance of the United States is to withdraw our power from the international sphere. That is very dangerous for the globe.
Well, but I think the president would tell you is that he's contextually looking at this differently. Not that we're just going to go all over where there's a problem, but look at this in what is in the best interest of America. That's the whole idea of America first. It doesn't mean to just come home and forget about the rest of the world. It's saying we're going to do our share. We're going to look at how this is in context of this country, and we're going to start forcing some of our allies not to just say, oh, let's let America do it again.
You know, this ties into something else that the president has been talking about a lot lately. For the third day in a row, he has talked about this caravan of Central American migrants trying to make its way up to the United States, and he claimed that he got Mexico to intervene.
I said, I hope you're going to tell that caravan not to get up to the border. And I think they're doing that, because as of 12 minutes ago, it was all being broken up. We'll see what happens.
Jamal, the past couple of days, the president has been talking a lot about immigration, using this caravan as the pretext to do it. What do you think's behind this blitz?
It's hard to know with this president. It makes you wonder what else is going on that he's trying to deflect attention to. But sending the military down to the border, we know we can't do that. There's actually a lot of rules against that.
Well, the National Guard can go,
but the U.S. Army can't go. But I guess the president doesn't care about the facts and details. We don't know if this caravan is coming to cross the border of the United States. There's some reports that a lot of people who are coming up from the south plan on staying in Mexico. We'll see what this actually shakes out to be. But I got to tell you, again, Fortress America, where we send the military to the borders, we go to trade wars with the Chinese, and then we pull out the United States power from around the globe, is very dangerous and destabilizing.
John, there's one theory that the president is doing this because he's been getting slammed by his supporters for signing a huge spending bill recently that did not fund the border wall that he had promised, and that he's on the defensive over that. Do you believe that?
Look, here's why I think that argument is ridiculous. First of all, everybody tries to add motivations for this president. This president ran on, more than anything else, that he was going to be strong on immigration and actually do something about the problem. He won on that issue, not in the base Republican, but he won in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, which had not voted for a president, a Republican, since, in some cases, Wisconsin, 1984, because he was going to be strong on immigration. There's really nothing this president is doing as a president that he didn't tell us he was going to do as a candidate.
That doesn't make it okay.
There's but people voted for it.
Not everybody. 3 million people didn't.
Right. Yeah. He became elected president based on that. And we have to.
But it's your job as a national leader to not just do the things that are easy. It's your job to do things that are in the best interest of the country, even if they're hard.
Speaking of that, let's just have a final, probably like 15 seconds each, in response to the move by the EPA administrator to roll back Obama-era fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks. What's the significance of this move, Jamal?
To erase Barack Obama from the history books, and they are going to poison us in their pursuit of that.
John, you're up because we don't have a lot of time.
I would argue that's called the Jobs Protection Plan, where American workers' jobs are now going to be protected to a greater extent.
John Brabender, a Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons is the Democratic strategist. Thanks to you both, as always.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you.